Oops, I need to turn my mic. 2 Kings 19, we're going to read verse 1, then we're going to read verse 14, and then we're going to read verse 20. Then I'm going to read two verses from 1 John. All right, 2 Kings 19, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord." Then verse 14. "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord." And then verse 20. "Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, I have heard.'" Then I'd like to read 1 John 5, 14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Here in 2 Kings 19 and verse 20, it says, "That which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard." Wouldn't you like to know that when you pray, God could answer with, "I have heard"? You know, as we go to prayer tonight, are you going to pray with the confidence that what you have prayed, God could send his messenger to you saying, "I have heard"? It says in 1 John that if God hears us, we know what? We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I would think that tonight any of us as we go to prayer would want God to hear what we are saying. Now in 1 John it talks about how what we need to ask needs to be what? According to his will. And here in 2 Kings, we have an example of a prayer that God heard. We have a couple of prayers here, a couple of situations that Hezekiah prayed. And tonight I'd like to look at what some of the things that took place in this prayer. And hopefully it can help us in our prayer to the Lord that when we pray, God hears us. First of all, I'd like to look at the occasion of the prayer. What was the occasion of the prayer? In 2 Kings 18, in verse 11, we see some of the background. We find that Israel had been carried off into captivity. There's the 10 northern tribes, there's the 2 southern tribes. Well, the 10 northern tribes were not known for following God. Rather, they were known for following in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had set up a false worship system. And they had departed from the living God. And it says in verse 11, "And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes." So here we have the children of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, had been carried off by the Assyrians. The Assyrians were a powerful nation. They were a powerful force that was coming against Judah. We find in verse number 14 of the same chapter that Hezekiah had already paid the king of Assyria money. It says, "And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, 'I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear.' And the king of Assyria appointed to Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. So here we find in this instance, before this time that Hezekiah had prayed, that he had taken money, tribute money, and given it to the king of Assyria to satisfy the demands that he had placed upon him. At the point in which we come to in Hezekiah, it could be that some of that money had ran out. It could be maybe that he grew in his walk with the Lord and recognized the power of God. We do find in 2 Chronicles that he did, when Assyria came against him, that he did begin to fortify the city. You know, but sometimes in life, it takes a great need before we will come to God in prayer. And here, Hezekiah begins to see the moment that he is facing. You know, the king of Assyria is coming against him. What is he going to do? You know, what's it going to take in our life before we actually realize that we are facing maybe an impossible situation? Something that we recognize we can't do in our own power. You know, the king of Assyria is coming against Hezekiah and giving him some information. And some of the things he talks about, chapter 18 and verses 33. He says, "Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand?" I mean, the king of Assyria, they had rolled over all these different places. They were a powerful nation. And now they're coming against Judah. What is King Hezekiah going to do? We find that there was false information that was coming up against Hezekiah. It says in verse 29, it says, "Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. And this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria." Here are these accusations being given. You know, don't let this king deceive you. Well, obviously, in a way, he was right. Hezekiah wasn't going to be able to deliver them. But the king goes even further in the attack in chapter 19, verse 10. You know, the first time he attacks Hezekiah, he even gives, well, actually the false information that was given. Let me go back to chapter 18 and verse number 25. He says, "Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it." So now he's getting information saying, you know what, the Lord sent me against this land to destroy it. You know, when we face situations in life, you know, the devil is going to use whatever information he can to get us to do what is wrong. Remember the prophet that was sent and God told him, don't stop, come directly home. And he met up with this other prophet and this prophet said, well, the Lord told me to tell you that it's okay to stay with me. Well, what happened? The prophet ended up dying. You know, the devil is going to use information like that to keep us from doing God's will. You know, Hezekiah, if he was looking for an excuse to do wrong at this point, he could have said, well, guess the Lord sent him. Better just cave in. Better just meet the demands here of the king of Assyria and do what he's saying. But he didn't. But we find the occasion of this prayer was a great need. And Hezekiah had to have a strong faith in God and what God had said. He had to have a strong faith in God's plan and God's strength to overcome this enemy. I wonder, are there any great needs in your life? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was facing a great need. And God was able to provide a great victory in the land of Judah. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazaz Antamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and sent and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Here again, when did they come to seek the Lord? There's a great need. We're in a dire situation. We're in dire straits. What's going to happen? We need God's help. You know, this evening, as we go to prayer, do we understand the need that is before us? Do we recognize the need, the spiritual needs of those that we are praying for? You know, when Hezekiah came, there was a great need. We understand some of this need that he saw in how he responded. It says, "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he what? That he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth." All right, Hezekiah, this great, we understand some of the greatness of the need and the way that he responded. You know, when you rip your clothes, now if it's an old garment, you know, that's tattered and worn, it might be kind of easy to rip. But I'm guessing that as king, Hezekiah probably didn't have on an old tattered garment that was easy to rip. You know, in fact, it probably was an expensive piece of apparel. You know, imagine if you just went out and bought a brand new suit. You know, a nice suit. An expensive one. You know, maybe you spent... Well, I suppose an expensive, I'm not sure exactly what an expensive suit, you know, would be considered nowadays. But, you know, imagine if you spent, $1,000, $2,000 on a suit. Now, I'm guessing there's not too many people in this room that would spend that much money on a suit. But, just imagine you just went out and, you know, somebody gave you $1,000 and said, the only way you accept this money is if you spend it on a $1,000 suit. And so you went out and got a $1,000 suit. And you came home and something bad happened. You know, at that point, that suit is what? Meaningless, isn't it? It doesn't mean anything. And Hezekiah rips his clothes, showing the deep anguish of spirit that he is in. You know what's interesting? One of the things I think maybe is interesting about this passage is that, you know, the first time when Hezekiah paid off, so to speak, the Assyrians, we don't find him doing what? We don't find him praying. In a sense, he met the need on his own. You know, he took the money, but yet it what? It cost him, didn't it? You know, I wonder tonight, sometimes we may not be seeing the need in our lives is because we're not in the battle. We're not fighting the enemy. And instead of choosing to fight the enemy, Hezekiah chose to what? Pay off the enemy. Satisfy their demands. And tonight, you know, you may not see the needs in your family because you're not fighting the enemy. You know, if you would stand up and say, you know what, these things have to stop. Amen. You might begin to see the great spiritual needs that are in front of you instead of just kind of coaxing along. All right, we'll just let them do this. Well, I'll just, you know, Hezekiah here giving him the money. There wasn't much need for Hezekiah to pray then, was there? Because he just satisfied the needs, the desires of the enemy. You know, tonight, are you going to stand up in your family and say, you know what, enough is enough. It's time that, you know, my kids are struggling with the internet. My kids are struggling with doing these things. You know what, enough is enough. This battle is getting fought. You know, as you start facing that resistance, guess what? You're going to start seeing the need. You're going to start seeing the need, the spiritual needs in the young, your young people's lives. And you know what? It may force you to what? To come before the Lord in prayer and recognize, you know what? There's something that needs to be done here. It may be that you haven't been facing the enemy, and that's why you don't see the need. It could be that you haven't opened up your eyes. What did Christ say in John chapter 9 and verse 35? He said what? Lift up your eyes. Say not ye there yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Christ said what? It's ready right now. But you've got to lift up your eyes and see it. Sometimes we don't see the need simply because we're not looking. You know, have you ever gone out in life? Maybe it's something simple like picking up garbage on the floor or on the ground, and you'd rather just kind of not look down because you know you might see something yet that you have to pick up. So you'd rather just kind of keep your eyes off the need, off of what's going on. Or maybe it's the speed limit and you're in a hurry and you'd rather not notice the speed limit sign. So you just kind of keep, you know, focused on the road, but then maybe once you see the lights behind you, you would have wished you would have looked at the sign. But sometimes in life, we avoid looking at things because we don't want to see the need. And hopefully as Christians, we haven't become that way with the needs around us. And what did Christ say? Pray in Matthew 9. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. And we need to look up and see the need. And as we see that need, it can what? It can burden our hearts to pray for what needs to take place. You know, are you facing an impossible situation in your life? Well, that impossible situation is an opportunity, an occasion for you to pray. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Christ told the disciples, it's easier for a rich man, for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven, to enter into the kingdom of God. That's easier. Humanly speaking, it would be easier. You know, imagine I've got this Citizens Bank pen up here tonight, you know, and took maybe the insides out. And I said, all right, you know, we don't see camels too often around here. You know, maybe we took something smaller than a camel. All right, we got one of the cows out of the pasture. We brought it up here. That would make a memorable moment, wouldn't it? And we said, all right, who's going to take that cow and stick it through this pen? Well, obviously no one is. And the disciples understood that, and they said, who then can be saved? It's impossible. And Christ said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And you know what? Tonight you might be facing a situation where you say, I just don't see my aunt or uncle getting saved. I just don't see my mom or dad getting saved. I just don't see my brother or sister getting saved. I just don't see that neighbor. I mean, I've invited them 59 times to something, and they still won't come. Or maybe it's a coworker, and they just seem to get harder and harder. Well, we need to remember, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And that's in the context of what? People getting saved. We never can lose hope. We never should lose hope when we recognize who is on our side. You know, Hezekiah was facing an impossible situation. And if we go over to the passage in 2 Chronicles, you know, he talks about how with them is an arm of flesh. And, you know, the people probably saw, you know, this is a terrible situation. And I should have wrote the passage down in 2 Chronicles. But in 2 Chronicles, it talks about how with them is an arm of flesh. You know, but who, and I'll find it real quickly here. 2 Chronicles 32, verse number 8. It says, with him is an arm of flesh. Notice what he says in verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Well, that's an impossibility. probably some of the people are thinking, what's going on here? Maybe they're thinking, is Hezekiah kind of lost it, so to speak? But he says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the what? And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You know, the people rested themselves. You know, when we decide to step out by faith and trust God, what does it produce? It produces rest in our lives. But it takes a decision of faith. And you can be sitting there worrying, fretting, wondering what's going to happen. How am I going to do this? How am I going to make this work? If I don't say the right thing, this person isn't going to get saved. And yes, you need to say you need to give them the word of God. And you better give them scripture. But who is it? It's the Lord that does the work. With men, it's impossible. You can be all worried about these things, but you know what? If you would spend that time taking that need to the Lord, just think of what God can do. Like the little song, you know, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. You know, don't be a doubting Thomas. Trust, rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? And there was an occasion for this prayer. And what was that? It was a great need. Hezekiah was facing a great need. And I wonder tonight, is there a great need in your life? Have you come to the place in your life where you recognize the great needs around you? Have you come to the place where you've seen the great needs in your family? Or is it because you're sitting on the sidelines letting the devil tell you what to do? And so because you're kind of following him, you're following the day and age in which we live, you're not really meeting up with much resistance, so there's not much need to go to God in prayer for the victory. Maybe that's why you don't see the need tonight. Maybe it's simply because you've kind of been shutting your eyes. You know, you don't want to see it, because if you see it, then you might feel under obligation to do something about it. But you know, you need to lift up your eyes. Christ said, lift up your eyes. He told us, we need to look out. We need to see what's going on around us. You know, the Bible doesn't leave room for Christians to bury their heads in the sand and not see what's going on around them. We need to lift up our eyes. We need to see the need around us. And you know what? That was the occasion for this prayer. And we'll continue some more of this another time, Lord willing. But tonight, do you see the need? And there's more to this prayer that, Lord willing, we'll get to at another time. But one of the first things is that Hezekiah was faced with a need. You know, and he came to the point where, you know what, we're not going to try to satisfy it with some human desire. It could have been that the gold was gone and he didn't have much gold to give him. I mean, there may have been still some finances left, and he just came to the point where he recognized, you know what, I need God's help in this. And God gave him the victory. Do you see the need tonight as you come to prayer? You know, does that need grip you? And you're going to come and lay it before the Lord. Do you see the need? Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we pray that as we go to prayer this evening, Lord, that you would even show us right now needs in our lives. Lord, maybe situations where we've been giving in to the enemy, we've been catering to the demands of the devil instead of fighting the battle. And if we would begin to follow you instead of following Satan's demands, our eyes would be open to the great spiritual needs around us. And Lord, we'd rather sit idly by instead of having to see the need. But Lord, what a wondrous truth is that we can simply bring that need before you. And even as Hezekiah laid it before the Lord, recognizing, Lord, that you have all power, Lord, may that prayer tonight begin in our hearts by us seeing, Lord, the needs that are before us. Lord, may our eyes be open. And may we realize, Lord, the great power that you have. May we recognize tonight that it is your will for men to be saved. That, Lord, that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, may our prayers tonight be offered up before you, recognizing that we can't do it. That with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Lord, may we pray in faith, recognizing that you are a God that answers prayer. But Lord, may you help us to recognize that need, Lord, so that we would be desperate to see you do something tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.